isn't the Bible full of errors? Isn't it full of stories that we can't trust?
所以很多时候我们在，尤其在大学里啊，也如果跟别人说我相信圣经啊，很多人会说啊，你怎么会相信这个东西呢？这不都是虚构的吗？这难道这个还是真的吗
？They might say to you too, doesn't the Bible condone slavery? How can you believe the Bible?
甚至有人会说，哎，圣经里都还有奴隶制度啊，你怎么会相信这种圣经
we see slavery through the Bible, and Jesus never condemned slavery.
但事实上，耶稣从来没有提倡这个制度。他。
So we're gonna look at these questions this morning, and want to get your input. So we're gonna go slow. You have any questions? Just raise your hand, indicate somehow, and we'll talk about your question.
我们今天呢会讲仔细讲这个话题，然后呢过程当中如果大家有问题呢可以打断。可以把你们举手，然后我们可以讨论一下大家的问题。
So we're gonna pray. So it's long to pray.
Okay. 好，我们一起来祷告啊。亲爱的主，谢谢您赐给我们美好的时间，让我们弟兄姊妹有个合一查考您话语的时间。也谢谢您赐给我们如此好的讲员，请您带领我们能够明白您的话语，祝福我们上午的时间，奉主耶稣基督的圣名 ，Amen。
Yeah.Well, we believe the Bible is the inerrant, inspired word of God.
我们都知道圣经是完完全全无误的，没有错误的，而且是神启示的。
Let's begin by turning in our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3.
然后我们一起来看提摩太后书。
And verse 16.
三章十六节，提摩太后书三章十六节。我们隔壁左右的帮着翻译一下。提摩太后书提后三章十六节
It says all scripture, not some scripture, but all scripture is inspired by God.
圣经都是神所默示的。
Inspired by God, it means it is God breathed.
默示就意味着是神说的话。
It says all scripture.
所有的。所有。
We say sometimes, as Bible students,The Bible is verbally and plenary inspired.
然后我们有的时候在圣经讲课的时候，我们是会说整个圣经它是完完全全逐字逐字神讲出来的。
Verbally means every word.
Verbal 就是每一句话每一个字。
Or the words of Scripture are inspired, and all plenary means all of Scripture.
Plenary 就意思就是所有的逐字的所有的全部是神来的
So all scripture is given by inspiration of God
所有的都是从神启示来的
And if God is going to give us his word will not be with error
如果神要把他的话给我们呢那他话就不可能有错误
We read in the Bible that God is not a man that he should lie
我们都知道从圣经里看神是不撒谎的
God is a God of truth.
神是一个真理的神。
So we can be confident that God will not give us any error in the Word of God.
所以我们非常有信心，神是绝对不可能在这个圣经里启示我们一些错误的东西。
So we want to think about these questions. First of all, let's go in our Bibles and turn to John chapter 8.
然后我们可以考虑一下这些事，我们先看一下约翰福音的八章。
Now we'll be turning to a number of scriptures. And if you have any questions, just say, I've got some more questions, and we'll stop, and we'll look at some of those things. John chapter 8, you may be familiar with it.
我们过程当中如果有问题可以提出来。约翰福音的八章，福音书的第四本。
It's the passage where a woman is caught in adultery.
这里有一个行淫的妇人，八章一开始。
And they bring her before the Lord Jesus, those who caught her.
然后所有他在行淫的时候被抓了，所有抓他的人就把他带到耶稣面前去。
They brought her to the scribes and the Pharisees in verse 3.
然后这里第三节就描述了文士和法利赛人带着他。
And they take her and they bring her to Jesus and they bring her to the midst.
然后他把他带到人群当中，面对着基督。
In verse 4, they say, Master, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act.
然后呢，他在第四节就说，就对耶稣说，夫子，这个妇人是正行淫时候被抓的。
Should we stone her because of her act?
因为她的行为，我们是不是要用石头把她打死？
So recently we had someone that came to me.
我们有些事情要来讲。
And they said, why is it that Jesus is anti-woman?
所以很多人最近会说，哎，为什么基督是反女权的？
I said, what do you mean by that?
我会说你什么意思呢？
Why is it the woman is punished and not the man?
他说，哎，为什么只有这个女人带到这个当中来了，不是男人也带过来了？
There was a man involved here, certainly.
当然了，这里这个事情是肯定有一个男的也是要。
They only bring the woman.
为什么只是把女的带过来？
Why is it in the Bible they always the woman is punished more than the man?
他说为什么圣经里总是女人受惩罚比男人多？
I said, I can't believe a Bible that is anti-woman.
所以我不相信圣经，因为它是反女权的。
So, is that what the Bible teaches? Does the Bible teach that it's anti-woman?
圣经是这么教导的吗？是这么反女权的吗？
Now keep your finger there.
好，我们先把这个
hand there and turn with me over to Leviticus chapter 20.
让我们先看一下，等会我们再回
来。Leviticus chapter 20.
看一下利未记旧约，我们往前翻第三卷书。
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus.
利未记第三卷书，创世纪、出埃及记、利未记，利未记二十章。
The Bible isn't anti-woman. The Bible is not anti-man, and the Bible isn't anti-people.
圣经没有反男人，也没有反人，为什么它会反女人呢？
God is about truth. God is about righteousness.
神是真理，神是公义。
Now the Pharisees in chapter 8, they are the ones that are in error.
所以刚才我们讲那个故事里面，约翰福音八章那个是那些法利赛人他们的错，他们犯了罪，不是神。
They are seeking to trap the Lord Jesus.
他们努力想用这个来构陷耶稣基督。
And we need to be careful when we look at a passage and we look at the Pharisees.
我们要非常小心，当我们看到刚才那个经文，尤其刚才那个法利赛人那些经文的时候。
That we make our conclusion about all the scripture based upon how the Pharisees are seeking to trap Jesus.
因为我们刚才的所有的事实都是基于那些法利赛人怎么样来构陷耶稣他们做的事情来得的结论。
Now the Pharisees in chapter 8 are basing what they're doing on Leviticus 20.
法利赛人为什么那么做呢？因为他们做的依据是回到旧约的利未记的一些教导，他们来在约翰福音八章来做。
Chapter 20 of Leviticus and verse 10. Let's look at that.
利未记二十章十节，我们一起来看一下。
Now, in verse 10, how many times is the man mentioned? And how many times is the woman mentioned?
好，第十节你会看见这个男人提到了几次，女人提到了几次。
Let's read it.
我们这么读。
And the man who committeth adultery, that's one, with another man's wife, that's two, even he, that's three, who committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer, four times the man is mentioned.
所以这个在英文的原文里他会说一个男人如果他和邻舍的妻，这里就提到了两次男人，如果是他那就是三次，如果是他之后他又讲到他这个犯奸淫就提到了四次。
It says the adulterer first
他是讲的
and the adulteress
他讲到奸夫
should be put to death.
先说的，然后再讲到这个淫妇。
When someone comes to you and points out John 8or another passage,
如果有人来到你面前说用约翰福音八章来这么说的话，
we need to be careful that we don't pull certain things out of context.
所以我们要注意，我们不能从那个一个片段里面来得出一个错误的结论。
But we look at the source verse and all of scripture.
所以我们要回到那个原来的那个经文的出处，我们就知道神真正的教导是什么。
So if someone comes and says, look at John 8.Jesus is anti-woman, or the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We look at the source verse and see that's not true at all.
所以有人用约翰福音八章说，哎，你看这里面只把女人拉过来，所以耶稣是反女权的。然后我们回到源头，我们就知道不是这样。
Let's look at another subject, slavery.
好，我们再换一个话题，奴隶制。
In the United States, we had an ugly history.Period of time of slavery.
美国的历史呢有一个比较不堪的一段奴隶制的历史。
From the late 1700s all the way up into the mid 1800s.
在18世纪一直到这个末期，一直到19世纪。
Until the Civil War, the American Civil War, we had slavery.
直到美国内战的时候，我们才终止这个奴隶制。
African Americans and other nationalities were enslaved.
所以很多的国家的民族，尤其是非洲的黑人是奴隶。
And sometimes someone will come to me and say, I can't believe the Bible. I can't trust it.
有的人会来到我面前说，我不相信圣经，我不想相信它。
Because God never condemned slavery.
因为神从来没有指责过、定罪过这个奴隶制。
Now we do see slavery in the New Testament.
然后我们的确也在新约里看见了奴隶制度。
Under the Roman days,under the Roman occupation of Israel, we see slavery.
在罗马统治下，当他们殖民那个以色列人的时候，我们看见了。
We see in the Old Testament, we see slavery as well.
在旧约里，我们也看见了奴隶制。
Much of the slavery we see is indentured slavery, servitude. Someone who would become a slave to pay off debts.
我们很多时候看见的都是因为。他因为自卖自身，他自己欠了很多债，所以他被迫成了奴隶。
But the slavery he willingly and voluntarily serves someone else to pay off debt.
他为了还债，然后他自愿的成为别人的奴隶，以让他有能力去还债。
But when someone comes to us and says the slavery of that was practiced in the United States, or the slavery that is practiced sometimes in the world today, in other places.Where you take someone against his will, and you make him a slave against his will, that is not condoned in the Bible.
所以有两样东西是不一样的，一样是他自己愿意去做，他要还债，和另外一样你违反了他的本意，你把他抓成你的奴隶，这是两个完全不同的事情。
That's condemned in the Bible.
后面那个是圣经是完全定罪的。
Turn with me to Exodus chapter 21.
我们一起来看一下出埃及记二十一章。旧约的第二卷书。
Exodus chapter 21 and the first 11 verses is a beautiful picture of Christ.
出埃及记二十一章的前面十一节是一个非常美好的在基督里的图像啊。
Verse 2 it says, if you buy a Hebrew servant.
第二节说呢，你若买来希伯来人做奴仆。21章2节，出埃及记。
Under Jewish law, you could only serve as a slave for 6 years, and on the 7th year go free.
然后按照律法呢，他只能服侍你六年，第七年他要自由的出去。
Verse 3, if he came in by himself, he will go out by himself.
他如果孤身来呢，他就可以孤身去。
If he has a wife and children, they must stay, but he can go out and leave as a slave by himself.
他若有妻，他的妻就可以同他出去。
But it says in this passage, if he loves his master, verse 5 and 6, he says, I love my master.
然后第五节这里有意思的来，他说：“如果奴仆明说我爱我的主人和我的妻子儿女
，I love my wife, I love my children，
我爱我的妻子和儿女
，I will not go out free，
我不愿意自由出去
，I will be a servant to my master forever。
我愿意成为我主人的奴仆，一直成为奴仆。
The master will take this servant to the door of the house。
然后主人就要把他带到门前。”
And he will take an awl, and he will pierce his ear, and pierce it to the doorpost of the house.
然后他会用锥子哈去穿他的耳朵。
He will bore his ear through with an awl.
他会用一个锥子把他的耳朵呢打穿。
As a symbol that he will be a servant to his Lord forever.
这是一个标志，那他愿意终身的。服侍他的主人。
This is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus.
这就是一个非常美好的形象，在讲预表基督。
The Lord Jesus might say, "I love my Father."
基督说：“哎呀，我爱我的父。
”I will serve my Father.
我要服侍我的父。
And I'll serve him forever.
我要永远的服侍他。
I'll give my life. I'll give my all to serve the Father, God the Father.
我要把我的生命把我的一切都交给我的父神。
And as a symbol, his ear is bore through.
作为一个信号他的耳朵就打了一个耳洞。
We don't have time this morning, but Psalm 40 uses the same language of the Lord Jesus. His ear is bore through as a sign of service to God the Father.
我们今天没有足够的时间查，大家有兴趣可以回去看诗篇的40篇，就用了同样的话。他说呢，基督他的耳朵呢，有一个洞啊，那作为他的信号哈，记号给。
But drop down the same chapter to verse 16.
那我们继续往下，这同样的一章看到16节。
Does God condone taking captive people and then selling them as slaves? Does God condone modern day slavery?
然后上帝有没有定罪现代意义上的奴隶，也就是把人拐了卖了当奴隶呢？
Absolutely not. Look at verse 16.
我们看一下16。
He says, if a man steals a man, kidnaps a man,
他说一个人拐带人口，偷了抢，
and sells him,
然后卖了
or if he be found in the hand of the man who seeks to sell him,
然后或者留在他手下
he shall be surely put to death,
然后就必要这种人呢，做这种事情的人要把他治死。
Here's God condemning modern day slavery that was found in the U.S. and all through the world.
所以这就是上帝定罪现代意义上的奴隶虽然很多是在美国但全球都有的。
There's voluntary servitude, but slavery as we know it in the United States and other countries is condemned.
所以有自愿愿去服侍的，但是呢我们熟悉的以美国为代表这种近代的奴隶制度是上帝极其极其厌恶的。
So someone comes to you and says, I can't believe the Bible because it condones slavery. I would say, no, it doesn't.
我有的人会跑到你这里来说，哎呀，我不相信圣经，因为他居然容忍奴隶制度。我完全不同意这个看法。
I can't believe the Bible because it's anti-woman.
有的人会说，哎呀，我来到你这里就是因为我不想听圣经，因为它反女权。
And we have to be able to say, no, that's not what the Bible teaches. Let me tell you what the Bible truly teaches.
我有充分的理由告诉他，这不是圣经告。的教导，那我来告诉你，圣经教导是什么
？The Bible is trustworthy and reliable.
圣经是非常可靠的，也可信的。
So we want to look at some of these questions this morning, whether the Bible is true, fact, or fiction.
所以今天早晨呢，我们要看一些话题：圣经到底是事实呢，还是编造的？
One reason, if someone comes to you and says, how do I know the Bible's true? Someone has come to you and say, I heard you are a Christian, and you believe the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, you believe all the stories in the Bible, you believe the story, the accounts, I don't call them stories, the accounts of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation.
所以很多人会来到你面前说，哎，你相信圣经从创世纪到启示录里面所有的一切的话。
They say to you, how can you believe the Bible? How? Give me one reason the Bible's true.
然后他说你怎么可能这么相信呢？你给我一个理由，圣经是真的。
You have 5 minutes with someone, you're speaking to them, and they say, give me one reason why you can believe the Bible.
然后你跟别人只有5分钟，然后你必须告诉他，别人问你，你给我一个理由，你为什么相信圣经是真的？
So what we want to do today is give you one very good reason why you can believe the Bible.
今天早上我要给大家一个很好的理由，为什么你可以相信圣经。
And that is the idea of advanced knowledge.
这是一个比较高层的知识的概念。
The Bible is filled with advanced knowledge before the scientific and moral knowledge of the people of their day and thousands and hundreds of years even beyond their day.
所以在圣经启示的时候它是一个更先进的知识在当时比他们那个时代的更加先进的一个知识在启示的时候。
So if I would say to Long, one month from now, you are going to inherit $1 million from an uncle you never knew that you had.
如果他对我说他说 一个月之后呢，你要在你根本不认识也不知道的一个叔叔那里继承100万美金。
In 1 month, on the first day of the month, you'll receive a letter. And in that letter, it will be from a lawyer, and you will receive a check in your name of $1 million.
然后他说，就在一个月之后的，就在那一天早晨，你要收到一封信，信里面呢是那个律师把支票就写给你了。
I give you the exact amount, the exact day, the exact uncle, the letter, all the very specific details, and I tell him in advance that that will happen.
所以我给了你确切的那一天，确切的那个叔叔，确切的这个方式，确切的金额，我一切所有的细节，我在提前就告诉你。
The day comes and everything occurs just like I said.
所以那天到的时候，所有的事情就像我说的一样发生了。
You know what you will do?
你猜你会怎么样？
You'll come to me and say, what very special thing will happen in my life?
你一定会问我，还我一生当中我还会有一些特别的事情会发生什么？
Because you see that what I say is reliable and trustworthy.
因为你看见我所说的是非常可靠的，可信的。
So if someone has advanced knowledge, you begin to see that is reliable and trustworthy. No one else has that.
如果有人知道提前的更高一层的这个知识的话，你一定会非常的相信他。
So let's look at some of these, Take your Bibles and turn with me to Job.
好，我们一起来翻
Job chapter 26.
约伯记的26章。约伯记，对，以斯帖记后面，诗篇前面啊。
The book of Job, we believe, is penned sometime during the time he's a contemporary of Abraham or of Jacob, either the middle or near the end of Revelation. It's one of the oldest books in the Bible.
所以这个会是最老的一卷书啊。那它发生的这个年份差不多是在这个亚伯拉罕那个族长的那个时代。
It's believed that Job wrote his book about 1800 BC.
应该是约伯自己写的关于自己的这个书，发生在公元前1800年左右。
Notice what it says in this verse.
我们看看这个26章7节在说什么。
He spreads out the northern skies over empty space. He suspends the earth on nothing.
他说神将北极铺在空中，然后将大地悬在虚空。
Other cultures of Job's day, the Hindu writings of India, they believed that the earth was suspended on the back of 4 elephants who were standing on a very large tortoise.
所以我们都知道在约伯那个时代呢，公元前1800年，所有其他的这个地区的人呢都不是这么认为。比方说印度教，那他们认为呢地当时是怎么样的，是有4个大象做4个柱子撑着的，然后呢它底下是那个谁拖着呢，是乌龟拖着的。
The Greeks of this time period or a little bit later believed that Atlas, the Greek god Atlas, held the earth on his shoulders.
然后希腊人呢他有个神的形象，他说他会把这个地呢是背在他的身上。
The Bible isn't a scientific book. It's not a scientific book.
圣经不是一个科学的书，我们通常意义上科学的。
But whenever it speaks about science and the earth and medical and health related details, it's true.
但是当我们想到一切的科学，无论是这个物理化学还是这个医学，在圣经上呢都不冲突。
God inspires Job to write, he suspends the earth on nothing. He hangs it on nothing.
然后呢上帝借着约伯去说了呢，他说他把这个地悬在虚空，悬在空中。
Now what year did modern science, we'll call it modern science, Western European science, discover that the earth was suspended on nothing?
到哪一年我们说的现代的科学，我们就管这个叫现代科学，近代的这一些西方的科学家才发现地球真的是悬在空中的呢？
It was discovered by Nicholas Copernicus.
他是被尼古拉斯哥白尼发现的。
He discovered in 1542.
他是1542年发现的。
It's actually 1 year before his death.
在他死之前的一年。
He wrote that the earth was suspended on nothing.
他写道地球悬在空中。
Look how many years later, nearly 3,000 years later.
你可以看看大概有这个之后3000年人才知道。
The ancient Egyptians didn't understand that.
这个古代的这个埃及人是不明白的。
The nations around Israel at that time did not believe that.
这个犹太人当时住的那个地方的人也不明白。
But today we understand that planets and the earth hangs on nothing, suspended in space in its orbit, and revolves around the sun.
今天我们都知道所有的星球都是悬在虚空当中，在它的轨道当中一个规律在运行。
Brother David, also they, you know, in the 1400s, 1300s, they believed that the earth was just flat. It wasn't round.
That's correct.
But it's already mentioned here in the Lord's Word that
it disappeared.
That's right.
That's right. Absolutely. So I would highlight, in your Bible, take a highlight marker and highlight Job 26, verse 7. If you speak to someone, they say, I can't believe the Bible. It's full of errors. It's full of things that are not true.
所以我建议大家可以用一个那个亮笔哈，去把这一节经文划起来。如果有人问你啊，这个圣经是假的什么，你就可以给他看这节经文。
You could say, do you know the Bible said 3,000 years before modern science ever knew it that the earth hangs on nothing?
你会告诉他，那圣经在比现代科学早3000年的时候就告诉你，地球是悬在空中的。
And then you would ask this question.How does the Bible have such advanced knowledge?
然后你会问，圣经怎么会有这么样一个提前的这个知识呢？
Was Job very smart?
是约伯很聪明吗？
No, it was God inspiring this book to be reliable.
是神呼出，是借着这些先知们讲出来的话是可靠的。
Let's turn to another passage.
好，我们一起来看下一段经文。
Isaiah 40 verse 22.
以赛亚书四十篇。
Actually, let's just hold there. Stay in Job. We'll come back in a second.
等一会儿啊，等一会儿，等一会儿。
Job, we're Job 36.
我们还是留在约伯哈。我们先看一下36，约伯还有一段36，还是约伯。约伯36章27节。
Job is right before the book of Psalms.
约伯记就在诗篇前面啊。
So if you want to impress your friends,
如果你想让你的朋友有印象深刻的话
，tell them you are reading about the hydrological cycle.
然后你要告诉他呢，你在读这个水循环哈，水循环。
Next time you're at a family gathering, tell them you're studying the hydrological cycle. And that's simply this is the idea that the sun beats down upon bodies of water.
所以这个水循环是个什么概念呢？就是太阳照在一大个水面上。
That water turns into vapor.
然后水开始蒸发。
And rises by heat.
然后
into the atmosphere.
在热气里面呢，它这个水汽就往上走了。
And it forms clouds.
然后这个上去的水汽呢，就变成了云。
Through weather systems, cold and warm.It turns into rain.
然后呢，由着天气的气候的气温的变化，它就变成雨了。
The rain pours down upon the earth.
这个雨就降到了地上。
It waters the earth again, the fields, the mountains, all the vegetation.
然后就浇灌了地、山所有的生长的植物需要浇灌的都浇灌。
It runs back into the rivers and back into the lakes and the bodies of water.
然后它最后浇灌完又回到那个一个个水体里面，不管是河还是湖。
And God has planned this as the way He would multiply the earth and make it plentiful and all that is in the earth would grow.
上帝这么设计呢，就让这个地球它是不停的能够生发新的这个植物，能够出产。
Well, Job.1800 years before the birth of Christ, spoke about the hydrological cycle.
然后约伯在耶稣诞生的1800年前左右呢，他就已经讲到这个水循环。
Let's look at some of these verses.
水循环的系统，我们可以看一下这些。
27 and 28, Job 36, 27 and 28.
约伯记的36章的27和28节。
For he makes small, the drops of water. That means he turns it into vapor.
他吸取了雨水点，把水点从云雾、吸取了水点，他就把它变成了这个雾。
This vapor rises to the heavens, and then it says they pour down rain according to their vapor.
然后这水点呢，就从云雾中变成了雨啊，就降下来了。
Which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly.
然后呢，这个云彩的确是将雨落下，然后沛然降雨世人。
Who can understand the spreading of the clouds?
谁能明白云彩如何铺张呢？
So we see here the hydrological cycle.
啊，你看见这个水循环系统。
Sun beats down upon the water, turns into vapor or makes small drops of water. It rises into the clouds.
太阳照在水面，热气蒸腾，水上去，然后变成了云。
And you see a scientific truth in the book of Job.
然后你会看见一个科学的真理在约伯记里面。
It wasn't until 1580 a scientist was credited as the discoverer of the hydrological cycle.
所以直到公元后的1580年，一个科学家才发现整个体系的道理。
But even this idea was not accepted science for a few hundred years later.
但是他提出来之后的几百年人才完全接受他这个道理，即在他在提出来当时地上都不接受。
We could say possibly 3,000 years before science understood what Job had said.
但是呢几乎在3,000 年前科学家们所知道的约伯已经讲出来。
So let's turn back to this passage, Isaiah 40.
然后我们一起来看以赛亚书40章。如果是这本蓝本的圣经是1172页哈。1172页。
Now when you have any questions, just feel free to raise your hand or...
如果有什么问题大家都可以随时可以提。
Isaiah 40 and verse 22.
以赛亚书四十章二十二节。
A brother just a little while ago mentioned this verse, referred to it. The earth is a sphere, is a globe. It's not flat.
我们刚才有个G 弟兄已经提到了这个形象啊，就是地球是圆的，不是平的。
Isaiah wrote these words about 750 years before the birth of Christ.
然后呢，以赛亚书写什么时候写的呢？要在公元前耶稣来之前750年就把这个写下来。
He writes, He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth.
他说神坐在地球大圈之上。
His people are like grasshoppers.
然后地上的居民好像蝗虫。
He stretches out the heavens like a canopy.
他铺张穹苍就像幔子一样。
And spreads them out like a tent to live in.
然后展开诸天如可住的帐篷。
But he says something very important. He says the earth is a sphere.
他说了一个非常重要的事实，地球是圆的。
It is not flat.
不是平的。
It is not on the backs of elephants suspended.
它不是扛在这个大象的肩膀上的。
When was it that modern science understood that the earth was round, was a sphere?
什么时候现代科学才理解到地球是圆的呢？
It wasn't until the 5th century, so 250 years further, the first suggestion that the earth was round.
直到公元后1500年左右才知道地球是圆的。
The Greek mathematician Pythagoras, he suggested in the 5th century BC that the earth was round.
然后呢希腊的这个数学家毕达哥拉斯啊，这个叫毕达哥拉斯，然后他认为地球是圆的。这个时候已经到了公元后的五世纪了，公元前五世纪。
It wasn't settled science until Ferdinand Magellan, the explorer, circumnavigated. He sailed a ship around the entire Earth and came back to Spain. Actually, he didn't come back to Spain. He died.In the Philippines, and his captain, his second first mate, sailed it back to Spain.
所以现代科学什么时候得到完全的证据来证明地球是圆的，直到费迪南麦哲伦啊，在1500年左右呢，他第一次环球旅行，事实上他自己他从西班牙出发，他没有回到西班牙，他在菲律宾那就已经死了，他的副手带着船队回到了西班牙。
So the Bible says 750 years before the birth of Christ and nearly 2000 or more years before it was settled science that the earth was a globe, was round, was a sphere.
所以很多年前在这些事情发生的很多年前，圣经就已经告诉我们了，地球是圆的。
Now, I read recently that a basketball player, he believes the earth is still flat.
我最近我读到一个篮球运动员，他相信地球依然是平的。
There's a basketball player named Kyrie Irving, plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers. He said, the earth is flat, the earth is flat.The earth is flat.
然后这个人还挺有名的，他叫欧文啊，他是一个美国特别著名的篮球运动员。他始终相信地球是平的，是平的，是平的。
He attended one of the finest universities in the United States.
他可是在美国一个特别好的一个大学受的教育。
Duke University.
叫杜克大学啊，很著名的杜克大学。
Now, I have also a quotation from Shaquille O'Neal.Didn't show up here, but he also says the earth is flat.
然后我还有一个，就是这个人是叫欧文啊，前面那个更有名啊，叫奥尼尔啊。奥尼尔也说这个地球是平的。
God said thousands of years ago, the earth is round. And you have photographs from space satellites looking at the earth and other planets, and we see that it's a globe, just as God had said.750 years before the birth of Christ.
圣经已经在公元前750年已经告诉我们这个地球是圆的，包括我们有很多的证据，从空中往下看也能看到。
Now, ancient Jericho.
我们再有一个例子，就是古耶利哥城。Yes.
Would it be appropriate to point out something more about the hydrological cycle?
Sure.
In Ecclesiastes 1:7, where it talks about the streams, they flow into the sea andThe sea is never full, but the place where it came from, there it goes back again. So
that's good. What passage is that?
Ecclesiastes 1:7.
Okay. Let's turn to that.
对，传道书啊，有个更也很好的经文来支持这个刚才那个水循环的系统，就是旧约的传道书的1:7.
Ecclesiastes.
Yeah, Ecclesiastes 1:7. Yeah, exactly support the view. Yeah.传道书这本蓝本的圣经1082页。1082页就是箴言后面，诗篇箴言传道书。
Very good. Another support verse for that.
Another support, yeah. 就第二另外一个支持水循环的这个经文哈。
Very good.
一模一样的。一模一样。
Ancient Jericho.When the children of Israel went to conquer the land of Canaan, they went up into, up to the middle part of what would be modern day Jordan, and they came across, and they had a strategy in conquering, the promised land.
对，我们回到这个耶利哥城啊。那耶利哥城呢，是什么时代的事？就是以犹太人要进迦南地的时候呢。他们要过了约旦河，要去征服这座当时的一座大城。
They would come through the middle, they would attack through the middle, and they would divide and conquer.
他们要从当中要进去，然后他们要把它分开，然后把它征服了这座城。
If you look carefully at the book of Joshua, you'll see a northern and southern conquest.
如果你仔细看那个约书亚记呢，你就会看见它有。北和南的这个两个
But the first conquest they would have would be Jericho.
然后第一个他们要去征服的就是耶利哥。
So let's turn to Joshua 6.
好，那我们来看一下约书亚记的六章。约书亚记的六章。书啊。
Joshua 6. Now we know the story of the conquest of Jericho.
我们都知道那个耶利哥城的故事啊，这本蓝本的圣经357页。
It was a great city.
这是一个非常大的城。
A great walled city.
非常。
The walls are believed to be 45 feet high.
这个城墙高多少呢？大概有45英尺高。
At the base of the wall, at the foundation of the wall, it was 29 feet wide.
然后呢，这个城墙的地基大概多宽呢？有29英尺宽。
There were houses built on top of the wall.
然后呢，在城墙上都有房子造着。
And in the inside of the wall, which was hollow, they stored supplies of barley and wheat and grain.
然后呢，在这个城墙里面的那中空的部分，他们就存放了很多很多的粮食，谷物。
It seemed to be impenetrable.
这几乎是不可被攻陷的。
But God had a plan and told them how to attack the city of Jericho.
然后上帝有一个计划，告诉他们该怎么去攻下这座城。
Look in Joshua chapter 6.
好，我们看约书亚记六章。
He said, "You shall circle the city, you men of war. You shall go around the city once, and thou shalt do it for 6 days."
在二节呢，他就说呢。你要一切的三节，一切的兵丁要围绕这座城，一日七次，六日都要这样行。
And the priests shall bear trumpets of ram's horns, and they shall also encompass the city.
然后六个祭司要拿着六个羊角，也走在约柜前呢，也要绕城七次。
On the seventh day, you'll do it 7 times.
到第七天呢，你要绕城七次。
And then after you've done that, on the seventh day, you will blow the ram's horns.
然后到第七天做完的时候呢，你要吹角。
With a long blast of the ram's horn.
然后一个吹角的角声要拖长。
And when all the people hear the blast of the ram's horn, they shall shout a great shout.
当他们听到角声拖长的时候，所有的百姓全部要大声呼喊。
And the walls will come down.
然后这个城墙就必塌陷。
Now for many years, scholars and scientists and archaeologists have scoffed and laughed at the Bible.
所以很多很多年里面呢，各种各样的学者就一时嘲笑和这个圣经。
They would say, "What an unbelievable story!"
他说这种故事多么不可信呢
？How can this happen?
怎么可能呢
？How can you circle a city, marching around it, blowing trumpets and shouting, and have such walls come tumbling down?
他说你怎么可能绕城？也六天，然后第七天绕七次，然后又吹角，然后又喊一下，这么大的城墙就塌了呢
？They mocked the Bible and laughed at the Bible, especially in the 1800s.
然后他们在一八几几年的时候，他们当时的人就很多的嘲笑这个圣经。
And they said, "What educated person would ever believe in the Bible?"
他说什么样受过什么样教育的人才会相信圣经？
You have to be a very uneducated, gullible person to believe the Bible and the stories of the Bible.
所以你必须是一个不怎么受教育，而且胆子比较大的人，才能相信圣经里说的话。
In those days, some Christians did not know how to answer the question.
在那个时代呢，当时的基督徒真的不知道该怎么回答这些问题。
Eventually, they did excavations and archaeology, archaeological work.Around the city of Jericho,
直到近代，他们开始做一些考古，针对耶利哥城。
And they began to find something very interesting.
然后他发现一些非常有意思的事情。
They began to find that the ruins around Jericho were very similar, in fact, exact to what we read in Joshua chapter 6.
然后他发现呢，整个当时耶利哥城的情况呢，几乎一样，和这个约书亚记说的一样。
First of all, they found pottery and other artifacts that dated the destruction of Jericho at the same time as the Israelites came into that region.
所以发现，首先他们发现一些陶器哈，就是那些器物，回到的年代呢，刚好就是约书亚带以色列人去进迦南地的时代。
Secondly, they discovered this, that in the ancient world,When a city was destroyed, the walls either fell outward or inward.
然后呢，在那个时代，这个城墙被摧毁的时候呢，这个墙或者是往里倒的，或者是往外倒的。
In the ancient world, walls were built that when the enemies were scaling up the walls or attacking, they were built in a way that they could push the stone of the upper part of the wall down on top of the invaders.
所以你知道，古代的那个城墙造的那个方式呢，都是当敌人攻上来的时候，爬梯子攻上来的时候，他们会把城墙顶上的石头呢，能够推下去哈，去砸这些敌人。
When they excavated, the walls had fallen outward.
所以呢，一般来说呢，这个城墙它是往外倒的。
Some walls.They found because they had battering rams and the enemy was strong, they pushed inward.
有的时候呢，当那个敌人很强的时候呢，这个城墙也是会往里推的。
But when they came to Jericho, it was very different.
然后来到那个耶利哥城的时候呢，这个有点奇怪了。
The walls didn't fall outward.
这个城墙它不是往外倒的。
And it didn't fall inward.
也不是往里倒的。
The walls fell straight down.
它是直直倒垮下来的。
And they said, how could that happen?
就是散下来的。这不可能，这怎么可能呢？这是。
Walls are either pushed forward or pushed outward.
他说城墙呢，就这样一堵墙的，你要不是往里推，要么是往外推。
But these walls collapsed straight downward.
然后这些城墙它是崩溃的，是直接向下崩溃的。
As if there was an earthquake underneath,And pushing back and forth, and they just collapse straight down.
除非就是有一个像地震一样的事情发生，晃，它才会这么垮下来。
Now remember what the two spies had said, to Rahab.
你们记得那个两个探子和喇合讲的话吧？
She said, "Now you go into the wall in your house on top of the wall."
她说你去你的房子里，你的房子是在城墙顶上。
And when the walls begin to rumble and begin to shake, and you might think I need to get out of my house. You stay in your house.
然后他说，当你听这个城墙晃的时候呢，你肯定会害怕。你就说我要离开。他说你不要，你待在你的房子里。
All of your family stays in that house.
你所有的家人要待在你的房子里。
All that you want to keep safe, they stay in the house on top of a wall.
然后你们所有你想救的人也都待在你的房子里。这个房子就在这个城墙顶上。
Now she believed God.
然后她相信了神。
But what if she thought to herself like other walls?
然后呢，你可以想象，如果她这样的话，她和其他城墙一起掉下来会怎么样
？I am surely going to die because the walls will push outward, and I will fall, and all the rubble will fall on top of me.
你可以想象，如果是其他的城墙，它或者往里推，或者往外推，它这个顶上的都会掉下来。
If she didn't believe God, she would have left.
如果她不相信神，她一定会离开的。
But faith in God and belief in His word is always the safest place to be.
然后信靠神，相信他所说的话，就是最安全的地方。
The walls came flat down.
和城墙是这么塌下来的。
Her house rested on top of all of the rubble.
所以她的家是停在所有的废墟的顶上的。
And she was able to walk out in safety.
然后她可以就安全的走出来。
Now look at the exactness of the word of God with me in chapter 6.
我们来看第六章，完完全全神的话是怎么样的。
They'll blow the ram's horn.
然后他们吹了羊角。
Verse 5 of chapter 6.
五节六章。
They'll shout a great shout.
他们大声的喊叫。
And the wall of the city shall fall down flat.
所以他说城墙就会塌陷。
The Greek word means to come down, collapse, to collapse.
就是塌陷啊，希腊原文呢就塌下来，原地塌下来。
Look at verse 20 of the same chapter.
啊，同样一章，看二十节。
The people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound, they shouted a great shout, so that the wall fell down flat.So that the people went up into the city, every man before him, and took the city.
于是百姓呼喊，祭司也吹角。百姓听见角声，大声的呼喊，城墙就塌陷。百姓便上去取城，个人往前直上，将城夺取。
So archaeology has discovered that this is exactly true.
所以考古发现了，这是完完全全真的。
I have two newspaper articles.
我有两个报纸的这个。
You can look at them later. This one is from the New York Times. That is the most famous newspaper in the United States. The title of it is Jericho's Walls Did Tumble Down.
它名字就叫耶利哥城墙真的塌了。
Science finds, archaeologists find.
科学家们发现。
Leave this here.
我可以把这个留在这，大家等会儿可以看一下。
它
是1990年的报纸。
1996, another article. Science supports faith in Bible stories.
它是科学支持圣经的故事。
Scientists and researchers believe that Bible accounts are true. We believe that are true. The Bible accounts all through the Old Testament and Joshua and Jericho are true.
科学支持圣经的真理，说明这个约书亚记里记录的故事全部都是真实的事件。
For years, they mocked Christians and said, "How can you believe such stories?"
他们已经嘲笑基督徒好多年了，说你们怎么能相信这样的故事呢？
But now science is saying they're true after all.
但是现在科学家说，我们发现它真是真的。
All those years we said they were false.
这么多年来，我们一直说这些故事是假的。
But now we find science and archaeology says they're true.
但是现在科学和考古学证明这些故事是真的。
The Bible was true all along.
圣经一直以来就是真的。
We as Christians kept on believing the Bible.
我们基督徒就需要一直相信圣经。
Now science is catching up to the Bible.
现在科学开始慢慢赶上圣经了。
The Bible has advanced knowledge.
圣经有很先进的知识。
Far beyond science and learning of modern generations.
远超过科学以及现在的人类的知识。
We'll look at something else.
我们看看其他的。
We're going to learn a little bit about Ignaz Semmelweis.
我们现在要开始学习一下这个。
Ignaz Semmelweis was a physician, a head surgeon.
这个人是一个医生，是一个那个做脑部的手术的。
In the 1840s.
在1840年。
He lived in Vienna, Austria.
他住在奥地利的维也纳。
He is called the savior of mothers.
他被称之为母亲的拯救者。
There was a sickness in hospitals called puerperal fever.
这当时有一种病啊，在那个叫做产褥热啊。
Childbed fever, and it could between 10 and 35% of babies would die in the hospital.
它这个在当时会造成25到30几的这个婴儿就出生就死了。
In 1847, he believed it was because of germs.
1847年的时候呢，就这个人他相信这是因为微生物造成的。
Bacteria that would be passed from one sick child to another sick child, or someone else in the hospital who was sick.
所以这个会这个细菌呢会从一个孩子传到另一个孩子，甚至当时住在医院的其他病人的细菌也会传过来。
In those days, they did not wash their hands when they went from one patient to another.
因为在那个时代呢，他们从来不知道从一个病人到另一个病人过程当中，医生要洗手。
They didn't have those little plastic gloves you put on your hands.
那更别说有什么塑胶手套戴上，没有这个，没有这个。
They didn't even wear masks.
也没有这个面罩戴着。
He suggested that surgeons, when they would operate or they would conduct a procedure, to wash their hands.
因为只有是这个人他开始建议，所有的动手术的医生要洗手。
He proposed a chlorinated lime solution.
所以他建立了一套方法来洁净，来那个消毒。
Do you know what happened to him when he proposed that in this first hospital?
你知道他在他的第一个医院他是怎么建议的吗？
He was fired. They said it would take too much time, and the doctors were too busy, and they couldn't wash their hands.
然后他们的当时医院居然把他开除了，说他这个。用的这个时间太多啊，浪费太多时间。
He eventually went to Hungary, and they began to practice this procedure, and the death rate dropped down significantly.
然后他去了匈牙利，开始用这套体系，这个所带来的结果就是死亡率大幅度下降。
And today is common practice. All through hospitals, doctor's offices, dental offices, to wash hands, to wear plastic gloves, to wear masks because of bacteria and germs that are contagious.
所以今天这是一个非常通行的做法，每一个医生他都要做任何事情之前都要洗手、戴手套，然后戴口罩，因为这个细菌会传播的。
But the understanding about germs was not discovered and understood until 1850.
你要记得，微生物直到1850年前后才发现。
Now, what about the Bible?
圣经怎么说呢？
What does the Bible say about germs?
圣经是怎么说微生物的？
In the law of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, there are 614 laws given by God to Moses for the children of Israel.
你们都知道呢，摩西五经从创世纪到那个生命记，一共大概有614个命令呢，是从上帝给到了以色列人。
Of those 614 laws, 203 are sanitary, hygiene, and health related laws.
614个里面有203个是跟洁净、卫生、健康有关系的命令。
God knew all about germs and bacteria centuries before modern science.
上帝知道所有关于微生物和细菌的事，在这些现代科学发知道的这不知道多少百年前他就知道。
And he told the children of Israel to make sure you practice these sanitary laws.
然后他告诉以色列人，你们一定要做这个卫生的命令。
Turn with me to Exodus 15:29, I believe.
我们看一下出埃及记的55章。
Exodus 15:26. It says, If you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which has been brought upon the Egyptians. I am the Lord that heals you.
出埃及记的15章的26节，这本书的蓝本的118页啊。他说呢，你若留意听耶和华你神的话，又行我眼中看为正的事，留心听我的诫命，守我一切的律例，我就不将所加与埃及人的疾病加在你身上，因为我耶和华是医治你。
Now the Lord is saying two things. One, He will not bring a judgment of disease upon Israel.
上帝讲了两件事。第一，他不会把加在埃及人身上的病加给他们。
And if you keep my statutes and my commandments, you will not have many of the diseases that the nations around you have, but God will heal you.
所以另外一个就是，如果你遵守上帝告诉你的命令，你就不会有你周围列国的有的那些问题和疾病。
So turn with me in your Bibles to Leviticus 6:28.
好，我们一起来看一下利未记的六章二十八节。利未记六章二十八节。
Now look at this verse. Some of your friends, they may say to you, "Why can you believe the Bible, especially the Old Testament?"
有很多你的朋友会说，你怎么可能信旧圣经呢？尤其是旧约。
It's full of mistakes and full of errors.
他说这充满了这个错误啊。
No intelligent person would believe the Bible.
没有什么有智慧的人会相信圣经。
But we find over and over again, the Bible is more accurate.And reliable than modern science.
然后我们越来越多的发现，圣经其实是比现代科学更加的精确。
It has advanced knowledge.
因为它有提前的知识，它有更高层的知识。
Look at this verse, a fantastic verse.
我们看一下这个非常棒的这些经文。
It reads, when the Israelites would cook their food, the mothers of an Israelite family would cook their food. It says the clay pot.Where the meat is cooked in, must be broken after you cook it. Why would that be?
他说唯有煮祭物啊，就是煮那个祭物就是肉啊，煮肉的这个瓦器要打碎。
I think some translations say an earthen pot, and a clay pot and an earthen pot. They would bake the pot, form it, and bake it in a kiln, and they would use it to cook food. But it says, after you cook food in the pot, you shall break the pot and not use it again.
所以它这种瓦器啊，就是用土造的啊，然后呢，做用烧烧好以后呢，它就做了这个，它要打碎。
There were no dishwashing back then.
那个时候没有洗碗机。
And you would throw them out.
没有洗碗机啊，你只能打碎它，没有洗碗机。
I think the mothers here would kind of like that idea.
Yeah.
对的，妈妈会喜欢这个主意。
No dishwashers.
不用洗碗。
Dish breakers.
不是洗碗，是砸碗嘛。
Because what would happen when they would heat up those clay earthen pots, little cracks would form in that pot, and germs would find their way into those seams of the pot.
因为你若不是这样的，它当时那个上面的斑点啊，就是留下的一些脏东西啊，那个微生物就会繁殖。
They were to use it again a day later.
然后他们会在第二天就会继续又吃了。
The germs would fester.And they could get sick.
然后呢，这个微生物就繁殖了，他们就病了。
But look at the same verse.
你可以看一下。
The clay pot where the meat is cooked in must be broken, but if it is cooked in a bronze pot, the pot is scoured and rinsed with water.
但是呢，如果这是一个铜器，这个铜器就要擦磨，在水中涮洗。
Now, the clay pot is broken, but the bronze pot is not broken.
哎，这个土。这个陶瓷的要打掉，那土造的要打掉，那个铜的不。
Because the bronze pot smooth bronze surface does not have a place where germs can find a place to remain.
因为土造的呢，它是有可以微生物是可以找到的地方这个停的，但是那个铜的呢，它表面很光滑，那微生物是停不住的。
So what this verse is really saying is the existence of germs.
所以这个完完全全就在讲关于微生物。
Germs and bacteria that would make the family sick by eating from those.
这就在讲这个微生物细菌会让人生病的意思。
1600 years before the birth of Christ,
1600年前的耶稣诞生之前。
3000 or so years before the discovery by modern science of germs and bacteria,
大概人类发现现代科学发现微生物的大概3000年前。
God is saying, be careful and be aware of bacteria and germs that can make a nation and a family sick.
然后上帝已经告诉我，你要小心微生物，小心细菌，那会让整个家、整个民族生病。
Many nations and many civilizations have been destroyed because of disease and plagues that have swept through a nation because of disease and a lack of sanitary regulations.
很多的国家、很多的民族因为疾病的传播，死亡众多，就是因为没有卫生的条例。
That never happened to Israel.
但从来没有发生在以色列。
Israel was preserved from plagues that came among her.
以色列人从来都是在这个瘟疫当中是逃生的。
Look at this passage. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 24.
7章24. 同样的一个一卷书，利未记7章的24节。
The fat or the carcass...of an animal that is found dead or torn by wild animals may be used for other purposes. You can use the skin. You can use parts of the animal for certain uses, but you must not eat it.
他说呢，自死的和被野兽撕裂的，你的它的脂油可以做别的用，可以做其他的用处，但是你千万不能吃。
So again,What is the reason for that? What possible reason could it be?
为什么呢?
You walk by a beautiful animal that you think is wonderful for meat for your family.
因为你走过一个死了的牲畜，你看，哎呀，这个太好了，这么多的肉，我可以吃。
And you say that'd be a great dinner for a week, maybe a large animal.
你可能一个礼拜的晚餐都有了。
But God says you can't eat it.
上帝说你不能吃。
Because there's disease in that animal,
因为这个
会带来 it will harm you, your family, and maybe all of society.
它会这个带来疾病，会伤害你的家庭和整个民族。
Look at this verse.
看看这个。
This verse is in Deuteronomy 23, 12 and 13.
我们看一下《生命记》哈，就往后翻，《生命记》的23章。
Now this is a verse that is applied to soldiers.
这是关于士兵的这个打仗的这个。这个条例啊，327页。
The context behind it is an army is besieging another city. And you have an encampment of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of soldiers.
因为比如说所有的士兵一起去打仗的时候你会有成千上万个人在一起。
You're in a camp.
然后你会在营地里。
And you need to make sanitary regulations so sickness does not enter into that camp.
所以你必须要有一个卫生的条例保证的这个疾病不会进到这个营地里去。
Many armies have been destroyed, not by war, but by disease.
很多的军队不是因为战争死的而是疾病死的。
Because a lack of sanitary regulations.
因为没有卫生的条例。
God has given the armies of Israel sanitary regulations.
上帝给了以色列军队明确的卫生条例。
Look what it says in this verse. You shall have a place outside the camp. You shall go there. You shall have a shovel or a spade among your tools. And when you need to remove excrement, move waste, human waste, you're to go outside the camp. You're going to dig a hole. You are to remove that human waste. You cover it over again and go back to the camp.
所以你在营外呢也应该定出一个地方作为便所。在你营器械之中当预备一把锹当你出营外便溺之后呢用锹铲土转身掩盖。
The proper removal of human waste was exceedingly important.
所以好正确的做法把这个人类的这个便溺的东西掩盖是非常非常重要。
Sickness could break out and destroy a whole nation.
因为疾病会从这里出来影响整个国家。
There was a famous plague, the Antonine Plague of 165 to 180, that broke out in a Roman soldier's camp in Germania, in Germany, in the ancient world.
所以在公元后的165年到180年间有一个特别大的著名的这个瘟疫啊，叫安东尼瘟疫，它是发生在当时的罗马的军营，在哪呢？在现在的德国的这个地方，一个罗马军营。
It was spread among the armies.The Roman armies.
然后他在罗马的军队当中就开始蔓延。
They brought the disease back from various places among where the armies were having battle campaigns.
然后他们把这个病是从其他打仗的地方带进来的。
They brought it back to Rome.
然后他们把他这个又带回了罗马。
And in this time period in Rome, 2,000 there were 2,000 deaths per day recorded.
然后在那个时候呢，罗马一天死两千人。
It was the second most devastating plague in the history of the world.
这是历史上人类历史上第二大的这个伤害性强的。
The total deaths were about 5 million.
总死了人一共是500万左右。
Believe the disease killed 1/3 of the population and devastated the Roman army.
然后几乎干掉了三分之一的这个他们的整个人群啊，然后就摧毁了整个罗马军队。
That kind of thing never happened among Israel.
但这种事以色列从来没发生过。
The Peloponnesian Plague was the most serious. The second most was the Antonine Plague in 165 AD. And
这是七大这个历史上大的瘟疫啊，第一个就是 Peloponnese。
We see in the Old Testament 203 sanitary hygiene related laws for the children of Israel.
我们都知道在旧约里有203个关于这个卫生的条例了。
Now let's compare that to the most advanced civilization of the day, the Egyptian civilization.
然后我们可以做个比较，比较对象是谁呢？就在以色列当时地上最著名、最繁华的文明——埃及文明。
About 150 years ago,A herbal remedy and medical book from ancient Egypt was discovered in the ruins of a pyramid.
在大概150年前呢，也发现考古发现了一个埃及的一个医书哈，药书和医书。
It is called the Ebers Papyrus.
它被叫做 Eber 这个 papyrus 就蒲草的意思，写在蒲草上。
It is the oldest medical papyri found in Egypt.
它是最古老的这个医药的这个蒲草书是从
It's believed that it dates to about 1440 BC.
它是大概公元前 1400年左右。
Very close to the time that Moses lived in Egypt.
基本上是这个摩西。
He'd be familiar with many of these laws and regulations.
对，摩西应该非常熟悉这里面讲的很多的这个命令。
It's a very large book with a lot of different regulations in it.
然后它是个非常大的书，有很多的命令啊，关于这个医药卫生的命令。
It's currently on display at the University of Leipzig in Germany.
然后它现在在哪呢？展现在。Leipzig 这个大学，在德国的这个大学，在
You can go and see, and you can Google and find much of information about.
你可以自己去看，你也可以 Google 就能找到这个文物啊。这个文物藏在这个大学里。
But look at some of the remedies in comparison to the way God revealed Himself to Moses.
我们可以比较一下他所提供的治疗方式和上帝提供以色列人的治疗方式的对比是什么。
If you had an infected splinter wound, a little piece of wood got into your finger and it got infected.
如果你有一个皮肤的感染，这感染是有一块木头插进你的肉里了，然后感染了。
You went to your doctor, you knocked on the door of your local doctor in Egypt and you said, "Can you please help me?"
然后你去到那个埃及当地的当时的埃及的这个地方医生，你说你能帮助我吗？
He would say, "Take this medicine."
他说来给吃这个药。
The ointment of the blood of a worm and the dung of a donkey.
这个药是什么呢？就是这个 worm 就是虫子，虫子血。
You apply it to the finger.
对，虫子血加 dung 什么 dung 就是粪便和驴粪便，驴粪便加虫子血混合起来的药膏。
I would suggest the dung of the donkey and the blood of the worm would infect it even further.
我觉得呢，这个东西涂上去会更加的这个感染的厉害了。
You could die, or you might have your whole hand amputated because of that.
你可能会死，甚至你整个手就没了。
A tumor, a visible tumor that you had somewhere in your body.
如果你身上长了一个东西啊，一个包或者瘤子，看得见的。
The remedy was the dung of a fly. Mixed with the sap of the sycamore tree.
然后这个药是什么呢？是苍蝇粪便和这个 sycamore 就是一种树的 sap 就是树枝树叶哈，就是那个树不有流那个枝叶嘛？这个和这个苍蝇粪便混起来的那个药。
Now we laugh at this, but this is the most advanced remedies and knowledge of medicine of the ancient world in the same time period.As the Israelites.
这是在以色列同时的时代的地上最强大的文明，他们给出来的医疗。
People travel the world over to go to Egypt for these remedies.
啊，因为全世界人都敬仰的回去看这个埃及的给出来的就是这个。
I included this last one because I have that particular problem. Hair loss.
最后呢，我们有一个，我也有同样的问题，就是掉头发。
So I lived in ancient Egypt and. I was concerned about my hair loss.
如果我活在当时的那个时代，我会很为我的这个掉头发。
The local doctor and he would say, "Take an ointment made of the fat of a horse, a cat, a crocodile. That's kind of hard to get the crocodile fat. The snake. Snakes don't have much fat. Donkey tooth crushed in honey."
这个怎么做的呢 ？Ointment 就是那个油膏。这油膏是什么混起来的呢？Fat 就是那个脂肪，就是马的脂肪。猫和鳄鱼和蛇的脂肪。然后呢，这个 donkey 的 tooth 就是驴的牙齿。
I use it all the time.
驴的牙齿。
I just can't find that crocodile.
在蜜里面这个混起来啊，反正就奇奇怪怪的东西。
Look at the comparison between Israelite, God-given Israelite medical, sanitary, hygienic regulations compared to the most advanced nation, people, civilization of the world.
上帝已经在提前给了犹太人非常非常卫生的、洁净的、非常合乎实际情况的治疗方法，比较当时的这个地上人用的方法。
The Bible is reliable.
圣经是可靠的。
We want to go through one more of these, and then we'll take our break.
Okay. 我们再说一点，我们就休息一下。
Turn with me to Leviticus 13.
我们看一下利未记的十三章。
Leviticus 13 is a passage about what should be done when leprosy.
十三章在讲的，利未记十三章一百八十二页，他就在讲关于大麻风的这个。
When a person would have leprosy,
如果一个人有大麻风呢？
Leprosy was a disease that would affect the nerves, in the body of the person who had it. He wouldn't feel pain anymore, and because his nerve endings and his sense of touch would be affected, many times he would get cuts and wounds and infections, and by doing that, he would carry a lot of disease.
所以，大麻风是一种什么病呢？感染这个病菌以后呢，它会伤害你的神经系统。神经系统到一个程度，你就完全没有痛觉。然后呢，你的手啊、脚啊就会有很多的伤口，然后上面就一直在不停的感染。然后你因为完全没有痛觉，会造成外部极大的伤害。
Now the bubonic plague broke out in Europe, Western Europe, in the years 1200 to 1400 AD.
大概在公元后1200年到1400年呢，有个著名的这个瘟疫叫 bubonic 瘟疫。
A third of the population of Europe died during those years.
这个瘟疫厉害到什么程度呢？欧洲人口的三分之一死了。
Estimate 60 million died in that time period.
就是六千万人。
They were not sure how to stop the bubonic plague. It was caused by rats that were on the bottom of ships. They were bringing food, grain, wheat, barley, corn to various cities, and they would go into the city and they would be transmitted by rats into the major cities of Western Europe.
啊，我明白，这就是鼠疫。鼠疫它怎么来？就是当时它这个因为航运发达了，所以呢，它会一个地方的老鼠呢，它就钻到那个船里去了。然后它随着船到一个地方呢，它就上岸了，然后这个就开始传播，就挡不住了。
Now, I have a quotation by a Columbia professor of public health, not a Christian. And he writes this: the way the plague was stopped was by going back to the book.Going back to the Old Testament. Isn't it amazing?
他这里的这 quotation 引用的是不是一个基督徒的话，但是他讲的完恰恰就是圣经里告诉的方法，最后用这个方法才止住了瘟疫。
Leadership was taken by the church as physicians had nothing to offer.
因为说教会当时就采取了领导的位置，因为医生已经没有办法。
The church took as its guiding principle the concept of contagion as found in the Old Testament.
因为他教会采用了旧约所教导的关于这个传染的这个教导。
Defined and set forth in Leviticus 13, it accomplished the first great feat of the methodological eradication of disease.
然后就按照利未记十三章的要求去做了，然后这就完完全全止住了那个致命的那个大的灾害。
So, in verse 46 of Leviticus 13,The whole chapter and verse 4 and chapter 14 is about how to protect the rest of the nation of Israel from plague and disease that might break out.
所以整个13章14章就在讲告诉我们犹太告诉以色列人是怎么样去预防他们中间可能有的那个大规模的传染病。
It says in verse 46, in all the days where the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled and unclean, and he shall dwell alone outside the camp of his habitation.
所以13章的46节讲呢，他说灾病在他身上的日子呢，他便是不洁净的，他既是不洁净，就要独居营外。
We do that today. We call that quarantine.
我们今天也做，我们叫做隔离。
Someone has a contagious disease, we keep them arrested.Away from other people.
当今天有一个人得了重性传染病，我们会把他和人群分开来。
Even when they have a flu, sometimes you keep them away from other children. They keep them home from school, so they don't go to school, and others will get the same.
即使是一个感冒这么样的呢，你会让这个孩子先回家待着，不要来学校，以至于他把这个病呢传给其他的孩子们。
So the first thing the Leviticus 13 says is quarantine.
所以第一件，利未记讲的什么呢？隔离。
In verses 47 to 53,
47和53在说什么呢？
They say that the garments he had, everything on his body that may have had some of the germs in it should be burned. Clean, washed clothing should be given to him.
所以所有的衣服，所有病人穿的衣服呢，他要烧掉，他就是或者洗， 他是在洁净这个衣服。
And then it says that his garments, wash his garments, and he should be shut up for 7 more days.
然后呢，衣服要洗了之后呢， 他自己也要隔离7天， 来确定他是不是好了。Then
he should show himself to the priest.
然后他需要把自己显给祭司看。
He shall see if there's any more plague on him.
祭司要判断他身上还有没有灾病。
And they would redo this procedure over and over again.
然后他不停地反复做这个程序。
Until there is no more physical evidence of plague on that individual.
直到他们没有在外在的证据来表明瘟疫依然在了。
This is amazing. God giving instructions how to stop plague. We're in the 12th and 14th century, and even further beyond that, they didn't know how to stop a plague, so they went back to the Bible.
所以你会发现非常有意思的是，直到公元后的1200到1400年的时候，他们还得回到那么老的圣经去找办法来解决问题。The
Bible gives us advanced knowledge of so many things that you have to see. The Bible is reliable because of the author, the one who inspires the Bible.
所以圣经给了我们很多提前的知识，因为它的作者就是神。
So we're going to close with this today. Oops, let's see. Sorry. I'm going to close with this. What's the lesson? The lesson, I think, is this. Be a man or woman of the book. Know it. Study it. Trust it, use it.
Amen.
We know these things, and so we should use them. Someone comes to us and say, how can you believe these things? Say, do you have 1 hour, a half an hour, 15 minutes? And let me give you 5 or 6 reasons why we should believe this book.
所以我们要成为这本书忠实的读者，我们要理解它，学习它，信靠它，使用它。 当有人问你，你为什么相信这本书？你说你有没有半个小时？ 我给你几个理由。
See, Spurgeon said, you know the old proverb, beware of a man of one book.
所以斯布珍呢，一个大的布道家说呢，他说你知道这个古代的古时候的谚语就是，你要当心一个一本书的人啊。
He is a terrible antagonist. A man who has the Bible at his finger's end and in his heart is a champion in our Israel. You can't compete with him.
他把他的圣经放在指尖上，放在他的心里，他就是王者。You may have
an armory of weapons, but his scripture and knowledge will overcome you, for it's like the sword of David, which is said, there is none like it.
Amen. 你很可能满手都是武器，但是他有圣经的知识，那他拿到的就像大卫拿到的哥利亚那把刀一样，没有比这更好的。Okay,
we're going to stop there. We'll take a break. And if you have some questions, I know you have questions. Maybe I've been going fast. But if you have any questions, we'll begin them in the next session, and we're going to look at another session.